Joining us right now, somebody that was very close to Muhammad Ali will be out there this weekend, Friday, at the ceremony. Also happens to be assistant coach of your Sacramento Kings. It is Hall of Famer Nancy Lieberman. Nancy, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. Thank you for joining us this morning. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm hanging in there. Thank you for having me. And let me just start by saying that it was an honor and a privilege to be Muhammad's friend. I'm a better person for it.
Well, no, we appreciate you coming on, Nancy. Yeah. And one of the reasons we wanted to have you on was just that you had a very unique relationship that I'm sure you were ridiculously honored to have. Would you mind just kind of, for those not familiar, talking to us about the genesis, the start of your guys' friendship and how it grew?
Well, thank you. But when I was young, I was about 10 years old, you know, back in the 70s, and there were not a lot of things for women and girls. And, you know, I was playing basketball and football and baseball, and I was always in the schoolyard, you know, with kids. And I can remember people telling my mom or, you know, friends, you know, she's stupid, she's dumb, she's never going to make anything of herself. Why is she in the schoolyards with black kids? Ms. Lieberman, what's wrong with your daughter? And I had heard that so often that it really hurt my feelings. But I didn't really have anybody to turn to or to go to. And I'm 10 years old, and I'm in my kitchen one day, and I'm walking by the TV, and there's this guy on TV, and he says, "I'm the greatest of all times. I beat Joe Frazier like I beat George Foreman, like I beat Sonny Liston back in 1964. I'm beautiful. I'm the heavyweight champ. I am the greatest of all times." And I was mesmerized. And I couldn't believe this man was saying he was the greatest of all times. And I literally, I ran into the kitchen and I looked at my mom and I, there's no clinical reason for this, by the way. I looked at her and I went, "I'm going to be the greatest of all time." And she goes, "Why are you talking like that?" And I said, "I don't know, but I'm going to be the greatest. I'm going to knock you out in two rounds." And she goes, "I am your mother." I said, "Okay, one round. And I don't know what I'm going to do to him." And she says, "Nancy, him is your brother." And I was like, "Like I said, I don't know what I'm going to do to him." And I stood by the door and I said to her, "I'm going to be the greatest of all time." And put my hands on my hips and said, "You better get used to it. I'm going to be the greatest women's basketball player ever." And I ran into my room. And I had something to believe in. So then I'm going to fast forward you through the Olympics and being the youngest Olympian, and every time people would say, "You can't, you can't, you can't," I would always see stuff on Muhammad saying, "I can, I can, I can." And so I go to Old Dominion, I get a scholarship. You know, I'm a poor kid, no heat, no electricity, no father, but I had one thing. I had my beliefs, and I had this man that I never met. But he fueled my passion. When people said, "You can't," I said, "I could." Muhammad says, "Respect everybody, fear nobody." I took that approach to every part of my life. I am not in Sacramento. Katie, I did not, you know, people say I inspire them and they look at me for things in my life. I am nothing without this man's influence on me. You know, people of your generation say, "I influenced you, you know, for the WNBA or for whatever the milestones that have opened up for all of us." And then I'm asked, Old Dominion wins their national championship in 79, and we're going for our second title. And I'm asked by the Olympic Committee to go to New York to do a fundraiser at the New York Stock Exchange. And I go, "Yeah. It's December of 79, you know, I'm Nancy Lieberman, I'm player of the year, I'm the national champion, you know, I'm everything my man said I could be." I walk into the other room and the other athlete that night was Muhammad Ali, and I couldn't breathe.
Did you share this story with him at some point?
Yes, it took me 25 years. And I finally told him, and my mother goes up to him, and she goes, Mr. Muhammad, my name is Vini from New York. My daughter, she's the greatest basketball player of all time. And he says, lady, there's only one greatest, and it's me. And he looks at me and he goes, I know your daughter's good, but there's only one great one. And I'm at the other end of the room with Howard Davis. He won the gold medal for boxing with Sugar Ray in 76. And we're Queens kids, so I was on the other side of the room with him. And he looks at Howard Davis, and he goes, Howard, the kid's mother says she's good. And Howard shakes his head like, yeah, she's good. And so Ali calls me over, and I was so sheepish. And I'm telling you, my fingernails were blue. I couldn't breathe. And he says, your mother says you're good. And I'm like, Mr. Muhammad, like, you know, I'm the greatest of all time. And he hugged me. He goes, there's two of us. Said, yeah, I float like a butterfly and I sting like a bee. And he just started hugging me. And so that's the beginning. And then we go back to the plaza with him. He goes, come back to the hotel. And he started talking to me about racism and why the day is good and the night is evil because it's black. And in the movies, the black hat is the bad cowboy, the white hat. I mean, he was teaching me about how African Americans perceive. You know, I said, why do you always call yourself pretty? He goes, am I not? I go, no, you are pretty. You're pretty. Don't hurt me. But he was teaching African Americans to love themselves and to admire them and to be bold about how they view themselves. And he was right. You know, one of his greatest lines, he says, you know, white people are sending a black man to kill yellow people. I mean, what he said back in the 60s bears out that what he said is true today, that war in Vietnam was not our war, and he didn't want to go fight.
Well, Nancy, I've got to ask you about that specifically, because we've been talking about him all week on the show, and you know what? He deserves a ton of credit for what he was able to do as an athlete. But is his legacy more about enacting social change in your mind?
Oh, yeah, he's a cultural icon. He's up there with Martin Luther King. He's up there with some of the greatest activists in the world. He has had more reach than the great Jackie Robinson. Jackie Robinson's story changed America. Muhammad Ali's story changed the world. Who, name the athlete, who could be sent to Iraq to help free an American citizen when they would not talk to anybody? But the government made him an ambassador of peace and sent him, I think it was to talk to Hussein. You might want to check me on that. Maybe Gaddafi or Hussein. And he is there meeting with him after he wrote him a letter. And then they released our American citizen because no other. Okay, so I talked to Billy Crystal the day before yesterday. And Billy, who is speaking tomorrow, he's like, Nance, I mean, can you believe this? Can you believe the two of us, just little rat kids from Queens, New York, and the champ has affected our lives? And he says, you know, tomorrow or Friday, presidents, prime ministers, sultans, there's going to be prime ministers and presidents from third world countries flying in. For Muhammad's funeral. He was so iconic. And I mean, I'm sitting there thinking about this. Who could draw this crowd? And, you know, you guys, I heard you say something about, I don't know if somebody called and said something about the funeral. Lonnie's putting this together. The Ali family is putting this together.
Oh, wow.
Muhammad, about 5-6 years ago, Muhammad scripted his funeral because Lonnie, there's 9 siblings and everybody wants to have a say. And Muhammad wanted to take the pressure off of Lonnie. And he wanted to say, these are my desires. This is what I want. You know, when the procession is going to go by his childhood home, go past places that meant something to him before, you know, his final resting place at, I think it's Cedar Hill.
Yes.
The cemetery. But everything, and I'm going to say this also, when I talked to the family the other night, I want to thank from the bottom of my heart, and you know I'm a Yankee fan, I mean tried and true Yankee fan, I want to thank the San Francisco Giants, because when they found out that Muhammad died, they reached out to the Ali family and sent their jet. And that's how he got to Louisville last week.
Wow.
You know, I don't know if this is public knowledge, and maybe I'm saying something, but I want to thank them because, and true to Muhammad's form, when the plane landed in Louisville, Muhammad was the first one off the plane. I mean, I don't know if he scripted it, but, you know, the kids were like, can you believe Dad was the first one off the plane? And then Lonnie, and, you know, they've been at the house, and they've stayed together, like Layla, Maya, they've all kind of paired up, so everybody had a support system. But look, I was with Muhammad April 11th. You know, we played the Suns that day, and I was trying to bring Rondo and DeMarcus with me because Muhammad wanted to meet Rajan because they're both Louisville kids. And unfortunately, those guys didn't make the trip. And I was sitting in my hotel room after shoot around. And Lonnie's like, come on over. And I was like, oh, okay. So I Ubered over to the house in Scottsdale, and I sat there. And, you know, as I do all the time, I hold his hand, and I tell him I love him, or I'll feed him, or, you know, give him, you know, sherbet. He loved sweets. And then he went to take a nap like he always did. And I went to the restroom, on the other side of the house. And I've never done this before because I feel so privileged. But I came out of the restroom, and I looked to my right, and Muhammad's double doors were open, and they have a big room. And he was maybe 20 feet, 30 feet from me. And I stopped dead in my tracks, and I made a decision to walk into their bedroom. I never said anything to anybody, but I went into their bedroom, and I held his hand, and he was asleep, and I just said, hey, I love you. And I walked out, and I was walking back to the kitchen, and I thought to myself, I wonder if I'll ever see him again.
Wow.
And, you know, Lonnie drove me back downtown, and, you know, Katie, you know my mom's been sick, and I had to take a leave of absence. She's 86. And when my mom was in the hospital about 3 months ago, she got this humongous bouquet of flowers and a book from the Ali's. And, you know, it was like, you got to be a champion. You got to get out of here. I mean, everybody in the hospital were coming by to see the flowers that Muhammad and Lonnie Ali sent with a book, a picture book from, you guys remember Howard Bingham, his photographer friend?
Yeah. Yep.
And the stuff they've done, I love this man because he gave me hope. He gave me belief. He taught me to love me when I didn't love me. He taught me to overcome obstacles. And when I was coaching, head coach of the Mavs D-League team, I remember coming out here or to Phoenix, and Lonnie and him are sitting there, and he said, you know, you're going to coach in the NBA. And I was like, I don't know. You know, I mean, maybe, maybe not. He goes, no, you're going to coach. And we're coming to your first game when you coach. And then they were the second people I called when Lonnie said I had gotten the job in July. And Lonnie says, we're coming to your game in Phoenix. And I'm like, he's got Parkinson's. I mean, he ain't coming to my game. We played here in November. I keep saying here. We played in Phoenix in November. And she called me that morning, and she said, Nancy, Muhammad's coming to the game with me. And I'm like, really? And he sat in a suite behind our bench. He's waving to me. He's blowing kisses to me. I felt so unprofessional that I turn around on a timeout and I'm blowing kisses to the
police. You get a pass for that, Nancy.
Yeah, Nancy.
You know, he took pictures with the guy, you know, with members of our team after the game. I couldn't believe he was there. I couldn't believe it. I'm so fortunate to have spent a lifetime with this man in my corner. He's amazing. That's all I can say.
Nancy, I hate that we are out of time with each other, and I want to impose on you, if we could, next week or sometime soon. We know you'll be at the events, for lack of a better term, ceremony this weekend. We would love to have you back on to let us know how it went, because I could sit here and listen to you talk about this man all day long. It is an amazing story and an amazing experience you had. So thank you for joining us, and hopefully we can talk to you again after the funeral this weekend.
Sure. I'll be here. I'll be back in SAC all next week, so it would be my pleasure, whatever y'all need.
Travel safely, Nancy. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
That is Hall of Famer, Kings coach, and we've done a lot. We've
good.
Done a lot of Ali
good
stuff.
Interview.
Yeah.
I mean, we've done a lot of Ali stuff. That's enthralling.
Yeah.
Not that the other stuff wasn't, but just to hear her recount these unbelievably personal stories of this young girl basketball player from Queens hooking up with Muhammad Ali on this journey.
It makes sense to me now, though, because I've known Nancy for years,
sure.
and she does have this very defined persona.
Sure.
And it makes sense to me now that it kind of comes from her influence of seeing somebody kind of talk about how great they are. You know what I mean? And that builds so much confidence. It's like you say it enough, you believe it, and that propels you into doing your best work.